I've had a lot of conversations with people over the years, and it's interesting. At some intervals in life, some of the conversations sound the same, and they have kind of a similar theme. So sometimes when talking to a student who is graduating, either from high school or from college or from a master's program, and they're trying to figure out kind of, what do I do now? Some of you are in that boat. Or talking to a single adult who wonders at times whether God remembers them and remembers that they're looking for a spouse. Or talking to an empty nester who is trying to figure out, what's the next phase of my life look like now that my kids are out of the house? What exactly am I supposed to be doing with myself? Or maybe it's somebody who is a senior adult and growing increasingly elderly and maybe not as mobile as they used to be and can't get around quite the same way that they used to get around, and they're wondering what kind of value they have. What can they do? What can they contribute? Or maybe it's a wealthy businessman who has been kind of chasing the dream and has been chasing it all over the country, kind of from place to place and moving his family around, trying to figure out what's going on and trying to chase this elusive satisfaction, only to find that the more that he acquires, he still finds the same nagging issue and starts asking questions like, what am I doing and what's this all for? Or maybe it's a young mom who's got a bunch of kids running around the house and she's trying to make sense out of what a house looks like that has become basically a diaper and juice box landfill. Just trying to figure out and make sense of it, right? All of these different places in people's lives seem to emerge at different times, but they're all kind of centered around one primary theme, and it's the theme of purpose. Really, what people are wondering at each of these intervals is, what's my purpose and what's the purpose of all of these kinds of things? And the tough thing about talking about purpose is that it can get confusing at times because different people have different ideas of what it means to experience purpose in life. So for some, when they talk about the idea of purpose, what they're really referring to is the opportunity to make it big. That's your purpose. You got to make it big. Or maybe it's said something like this. You got to follow your dreams and live out your dreams. That's what purpose is. Or maybe other people kind of have a different idea of that, and they think that maybe it's just purpose is being satisfied in whatever it is that I'm doing, that this is my job or this is what I'm doing right now, and I need to work on being satisfied in it because that's ultimately my purpose. That's what it's all about. And then maybe there's other people who really haven't taken the time to think deeply about it, and so they're really not sure. They don't even really think about purpose. They're just kind of living life a day at a time, right? Just taking it as it comes. You ever know any of those people? It's just like, yeah, dude, I don't think about tomorrow, man. I'm just here, bro. I'm just here, man. It's okay. So maybe nobody's really thinking about purpose. You ask them, what's your purpose? And they're like, oh, dude, I need a taco. That's what my purpose is right now. I need a taco. Have you had one of those Choco tacos? Those are unbelievable. Let's do that right now. I'm jonesing for it. So that's kind of what the idea there is for some when they think of this idea of purpose. But for us that are people of Jesus, and for us that have a worldview that is based around the heart of Jesus, it doesn't have to be that confusing for us. It really doesn't. In fact, if we miss purpose when we're thinking about the life of Jesus and life in Christ and kind of looking at a worldview that is centered in that, if we miss purpose, we are missing the obvious at this point. It doesn't have to be that confusing. The truth is, though, sometimes we can miss the obvious. It happens to us all. In fact, it happens to really smart people. Have you read when Sherlock Holmes and Watson went camping? Maybe you have. Maybe you're going, I don't know, why don't you tell me? So they go camping. And they finished eating, you know, by the campfire and all that kind of stuff. And they're settling down to go to sleep at night. I guess they're on one of their great, you know, adventures and investigations and all of those things. And so they lay down to go to sleep, and they're looking up at the stars. And here's what happens. Holmes looks over at Watson, or just speaks to Watson, and says, "Watson, what do you see?" So Watson kind of takes a deep breath and says, "Well, astronomically, I see our galaxy and know that there are millions of other galaxies as well, and that the potential possibly exists for the existence of life elsewhere. Astrologically, I look at the sky and realize that Saturn has moved into the realm of Leo. Horologically, I can deduce from the position of the stars and the clarity of the sky that it is approximately 3:25 a.m. Theologically, I can understand that this creation is far beyond us, and therefore God must be an omnipotent God. Meteorologically, I can look and see that on this clear star-filled night that tomorrow's going to be an absolutely beautiful day." And then Watson says, "Sherlock, why do you ask? What do you see?" And Holmes says, "Someone stole our tent." It's possible to miss the obvious, right? What we don't want to do today is we don't want to miss the obvious. And so I want to give you just a few thoughts around the idea of purpose that are very, very obvious to those of us that are followers of God in Christ. And here's the first one. God has a purpose. All right, I don't want you to miss this because I don't want there to be a lack of clarity around this idea or this subject of purpose. God himself has a purpose. If God has been revealed as a creational God, the one who makes, then that means God, by definition, is intentional or purposeful in what he does. That God as a creational God is a purposeful God, an intentional God. Not only in the design of the universe that we understand and we look at that has rhythm and rhyme to it, but also in the design and in the life of those he has created in his likeness, human beings, male and female. That there is also a God that stands behind not only the creation of the universe, but the creation of people, who is a God of purpose, a God of intention, a God who is creational and purposeful. Now, why is that important for us? It's important for us because we need to understand that as a bedrock, because we don't make sense of purpose unless we understand that we have a God who is purposeful, who himself has purpose. And in fact, the scripture in a few different places talks about the nature of the purposes of God. And I want you to listen. I'm going to give you a couple of, I'm going to kind of jump around to a few different places. So you might just jot these down and you can go back and look at them. But in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes by inspiration of the Holy Spirit these words. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory." Now, without trying to unpack every single huge theological implication in this particular text, What I want to remind you of is that when you see these big words here, these big words like chosen and elected and predestined, that here's what it describes. It describes a God with purpose. It describes a God of intention, a God who is doing something very specific. And in the creation of people that he calls to himself, specifically what he is doing is he is purposing to bring glory to himself through Christ. This is what he says. He keeps reminding us that we who have come into Christ are for the praise of his glorious grace. That we have been made with this kind of purpose to bring God glory in and through Jesus. But Paul continues in chapter number 3 by saying this. He says, his intent or God's purpose was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. According to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. In other words, here's what this passage tells us. That God himself has an eternal purpose in Jesus. And that eternal purpose is this. To show his wisdom in the world through his people, the church. By the way, we talked about just a few weeks ago in this series the nature of who the church is, right? We're talking about all those who are believers in Jesus, that's who we're talking about when we talk about the church. And Paul describes it as Jew and Gentile who have now come together in their belief in Messiah Jesus are now one new person, the scripture says, kind of one new kind of human being. And he calls us together the church. Man, when you look around in this place, and I've got the best vantage point standing here, and looking through people's souls into Cheektowaga and to Lockport, which I do all the time. You don't think that I see, but I see you right now. I see you laughing. Blonde lady, second row, you're cracking up. I like it. So looking at all of the people that make up what we call the church, man, we are a ridiculous, motley crew of human beings. Now, it's glorious and it's beautiful and it's diverse in every way imaginable. Ethnically diverse and gender diversity and all kinds of stuff. We got socioeconomic diversity. All people who have come to faith in Jesus, although I recognize there are people who attend some that are still kind of kicking the tires and trying to figure out this whole thing. I got that. But those of us who embrace Jesus, we come from all over, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of life experiences. And here we are together. And God says, through you, I'm going to demonstrate my wisdom to the entire world. I'm going to do that. Why? Because my eternal purpose has always been set up in Jesus. And that when people come in Jesus, now making up this body, this bride, this family, this building, this temple that we call the church, that I'm going to display my glory and my wisdom to all the world. Why does it display the wisdom of God to look at the church? Because only an all-wise God could take all knuckleheads and transform the world. Only an all-wise God, because it points to his own glory, not to our greatness. People don't look at the church just to determine how great people are. People look at the church and they can deduce that God is great. Because they knew this guy or this gal lived in this place, and now they've been transformed. This is to the glory of Almighty God. So God has purposed in Christ for this to happen. Why? Because God is purposeful. He has a purpose. This is the nature of who he is. And then Paul writes these words in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What this tells us is that God's purpose all along has been to demonstrate grace to the world through Jesus, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That the good news has been forever in eternity past, not just revealed to us in our time, but has always been the mind of God. That the good news is he was going to bring people to himself in and through his son, Jesus Christ. So God has a purpose. Let me simplify it for you. What in the world are we talking about when we talk about God's purpose? Here it is. God wants people to know him. I don't know how to say it any simpler than that. When you read all of these huge theological understandings about what God is doing in the world in Christ Jesus, here's what the point is. The point is so people can be reconciled to him through Christ. That people can know him. This is a God who is purposefully revealing himself, not only in creation, where every human being in every part of the world can walk outside and say, I did not do this. God has revealed himself in creation. God has revealed himself in conscience. People know inherently a sense of right and wrong, even if they've not been taught all of these things. When they see someone kill someone else, even if they've not been instructed about it, they realize internally this is a bad thing because God has revealed himself in conscience as well. But God has specifically revealed himself in Christ Jesus, the one who is fully God and fully man at the same time. Notice I did not say half man and half God. He's not 50% man and 50% God. He's 100% man and 100% God at exactly the same time. You say, what does that make him, like 200% something? And I'm like, no, it makes him 100% God-man. That's who he is. And God has revealed himself in and through Jesus Christ. And so what purpose is there? The purpose is so that we could be reconciled to God, so that we could know him. And why do we need to know God? Because God himself is the source of all life, of all joy, of all power, of all grace, of all love. This is the source. And for us to be disconnected from that is not to really understand what life and joy and peace and all of those things are. So God is doing this for our benefit, that we might know him for our benefit. So God has a purpose. But let me tell you a second thing. God invites people to join him in his purpose. This is a beautiful understanding of purpose. Not only is he purposeful, but he invites people to join him in his purpose. So if we kind of roll back or scroll back in our minds all the way back to the kind of early revelation of humanity, what we see in the creation and what we see in Adam and Eve is we see God actually calling them to join him in his purposes. You know, he called them to extend the garden, that everywhere the river flowed, they were kind of supposed to extend the garden so that people could be benefited by that. He called them to be co-rulers with him. They were offered the opportunity to join God in his purposes in the world. And even after sin entered, and even after that poison affected humanity, you still see God reaching out to people to join him in his process. People like Noah, who is proclaiming to the world that is just kind of going its own way and being violent and being ridiculous. Noah's calling them back to God. People like Abraham, where God taps him on the shoulder and says, hey, I'm going to rescue the world through you. And Abraham has an opportunity to testify to that. Or a people called Israel, where God says, I want to demonstrate my glory in and through you to testify to the nations of my own glory so that they might know me also. God is continually doing this. And ultimately, we see that fullness of revelation in Jesus himself. And what Jesus did, interestingly enough, is because he is representing God in the world and because he is God in the world, he does something interesting. He continues the purposes of God. Not only himself, but continues to invite people into God's purposes. You remember he called people to himself. You remember specifically calling the apostles to himself. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but if you're trying to figure out your purpose, it seems intimidating to go to the apostles to ask about that, doesn't it? Because you start going, I'm no apostle. Here's what I know about myself. I'm no apostle. I got that figured out, right? But here's what you need to remember. Before they were apostles, they were just disciples. That's it. Before they were apostles, like apostle, they were just disciples, followers, people who got an invitation and came along. Now remember, Jesus, this great rabbi who is more than just a rabbi, but is God with skin on, is now walking the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and it's interesting how he calls them into their purpose. If you remember, there was one particular way in which he called some of these guys into their purpose. Remember it in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said these words. He said, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Or another way of saying that is I will make you fishers of people or fishers of men and women. So here's what's interesting about that. I used to wrestle with that verse in my own heart. And here's why. Because I don't like fishing. Now, some of you, maybe I just offended you because you're like, so Pastor Leroy's watching at Cheektowaga going, what? He loves fishing. I don't really like fishing. I know that I'm originally from Georgia, and that probably shocks everyone because you have this idea of what Southerners do and don't like. And so because I'm originally from Georgia, that I don't really like fishing. Well, I mean, I've probably got some other surprises for you as well. I'm not really into tobacco products. I don't often frequent gun shows. I've never been to a monster truck rally. I've not named my car after a Confederate general. I don't own a pair of overalls. And I have all my teeth. So, I know you think that maybe us Southerners have certain things that are... So I don't like fishing. I'm just saying it. I'm just confessing it. My name is Jerry, and I don't like fishing. I've tried it. It's not because I haven't tried it. Some of you, you've never really tried it. You've never tried it. I've tried it. And I don't think that sitting on a dock for like 100 hours is any fun at all. They've already got a word for that. Sleeping. Or death. I'm not sure which. Now, don't get me wrong, I've caught a fish before. I'm all about that. So if every time I flung it out there, if I could catch a fish, I'd fish. But it's like this, and I got to do that for 100 years. I mean, by the time I'm done, I am cashing Social Security checks. I'm not interested. So what about people like me? If I don't like fishing, and Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of people, then am I out of luck? Am I going to miss my purpose? Only if I miss the point. You see, Jesus didn't say this same exact statement to everybody that he called. He said this statement, that I'll make you fishers of people, to fishermen. To Matthew, he didn't say, I'm going to make you a fisher of people. He just said, follow me. To Philip, to Nathaniel, he didn't say these things. He said it to Peter and Andrew and James and John. They were fishermen. And to the fishermen, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. Now, why is that important? Here's why. Because when we start understanding our purpose and we hear Jesus calling people into their purpose, do you know what it says to me? That Jesus understands exactly how people are wired, you and me, and he knows how to call us according to that. That's a beautiful thing. That Jesus actually knows how these guys are wired, and he understands something. He understands what they're good at, and he understands how he's going to use them in his purposes in the world. And so he says to the fishermen, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I know you know how to do this. I know how you're wired. I know how you are uniquely made by me. And I want you to come with me and follow after me. And I'm going to take your skills and I'm going to transform them for the sake of the kingdom of God. And so if you're here, you might have some kind of different background. You're going, man, yeah, I don't really like fishing either. Can I find my purpose? Of course you can, because Jesus knows you very uniquely. So let's say you're a construction worker. Maybe Jesus walks up to you and says, follow me. And I will help you be a builder of men. Maybe you're an artist. Jesus says, follow me and I will help you to paint on the canvas of the soul. Maybe you're a musician. Jesus says, you follow me and I will help you teach people to dance to the rhythm of the kingdom of God. Yeah, I could probably just keep going, right? I mean, you're like, you haven't hit me yet. I know, I'm sorry. Maybe you're a doctor. Maybe you're a doctor and you say, what would Jesus say to me? I don't know. Follow me and I will help you to be a physician of the heart. Maybe you're a mom. You say, what about me? Can God use my momness? Sure he can. God knows specifically in your world who you are, how you're wired, how you're made, and can call you into purpose wherever he finds you. This is the beauty. Jesus called into purpose guys that were fishermen and tax collectors and zealots, you know, people who wanted to like overthrow the government and all that. Could you imagine this crew together? I mean, you've got guys that are fishermen that are together. You've got guys like Matthew, who's a tax collector, who actually doesn't have a friend in the world. See, these tax collectors were hated by the Jews because even though they were Jews, like Matthew, he was taking taxes from the Jews and probably cheating them because he was like in league with the Romans. But the Romans didn't even like them because they were Jews and they were just using them for their own purposes. So literally, you got a guy like Matthew who his only other friends are kind of, you know, social castaways like himself. And they call Matthew to go along with these guys who he's probably been pocketing extra money from. Why is this a smart thing to do? Because God is infinitely wise and he takes all of these people together to demonstrate his wisdom in the world of what he can do. So regardless of where he calls you, he understands that you can have a unique role in terms of, listen to this, a unique role, but the same purpose. We all have a unique role in this process, but we have the same purpose. Because God is the one who is purposeful, and he invites us to join him in his purposes. Therefore, we are simply involving ourselves in the purposes of God. And it always has to do with people. It always has to do with showing people the glory of who he is. That is God's overarching purpose, that people would know him. And he uses us for that purpose. In fact, that's why Paul actually referred to us as ambassadors. Listen to how he says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Do you realize that God has given you a purpose? You have a unique role. And he helps to understand that role. He knows what that unique role is, regardless of what it is you do and how you're wired. It's a unique role, but that role ultimately finds itself folded into his purpose. And his purpose is that you are an ambassador, where God is making his appeal to the world through you. This is your purpose. That people would come to know God in Christ through your life. This is purpose. Why? Because God is the one who has a purpose, and God invites us to join him in his purpose that people would know him. But let me give you a third thing. Again, it's pretty simple. We won't know our purpose unless we know Jesus. How's this for making it as clear as I can make it? I'm trying to kind of cut through some of the confusion around this idea of purpose. We won't know our purpose unless we know Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about, because some of you are maybe thinking something different. Here's what we're exposed to in the world that we live in. We're exposed to people who want to basically just pursue their own selfish ends and then tag Jesus on as an add-on. Like they just want to kind of bolt him on or clip him on. I want to do whatever I want to do, and then I just want to clip him on. That's not what I'm talking about. That's kind of what I see oftentimes on a lot of the music award shows. You know, the Grammys or the American Music Awards or the Country Music Awards or whatever. This is the kind of model that we see. It's something like this. You know, like the Country Music Awards, the guy comes up, you know, and he's like, they announce him, you know, and so-and-so wins for best record of I was drunk as a bunny rabbit, and that's why I slept with 1,000 women. And he comes up and he says, boy, I just want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this song. And I'm thinking to myself, I can promise you Jesus didn't have anything to do with that song. He didn't write it. He didn't inspire it. There was nothing about that song that the Lord Jesus Christ had anything to do with, Bubba. I'm telling you right now. Or maybe another person comes up, you know, and their whole album was about objectifying women or objectifying men. or was about a whole lot of kind of egregious violence, or was about just kind of free-flowing sex for everybody that wants some and no attachment or commitment necessary. I'll hold up that award. I just want to
thank the Lord.
You just kind of go, hey, man, why don't you leave him out of this? Because I promise you, he's not writing any tunes about, you know, a morality gone way south, about violent ends that are make no sense, or objectifying people, or sex at will. He's not writing those songs. He's not inspiring those songs. But what we do is basically, here's what we learn about purpose. Because those people get up and they thank the Lord, and then they'll say, kids, I just want you to know something. You follow your dreams, you can be like me. And that's what kids look at and go, that must be purpose. Purpose must be doing whatever I want to do and getting Jesus to give me permission to do it. But that's not what it is. That's not at all what it is. See, that's just Jesus as an add-on. That's not actually embracing the purposes of Jesus. That's a different thing altogether. So don't think that you and I can just do whatever we want to do and then just go, hey, Jesus, thank you for letting me do this and make this album about objectifying women and about, you know, getting drunker than a bunny rabbit and sleeping with all of them and don't matter if they're married or not and, you know, all that. I just want to thank Jesus for that. Listen, that is not purpose. That's not even close to purpose. That makes absolutely no sense. But people buy into that. They think, well, they're living the dream. No, they're not. They're not living the dream. They're living a dream of their own making, and I can promise you this, the dreams of God are much better than the dreams of men. I promise you. Because what we have is we buy in actually to the dreams of the enemy, who wants us to think about other things other than the glory of God, which is ultimately the purposes of God. He wants us to think about other things other than being an ambassador where we demonstrate the grace of God in the world that we live in so that people could actually come to know God in and through Christ. He wants them thinking about anything other than that. So if he can load them up with money or load them up with fame or load them up with glory, and by the way, you see what happens to people who receive too much glory, don't you? It kills them. No human being was ever made for that kind of glory. No human being. Paul said something startling in my mind, startling, when he talked about the idea of purpose. Because Paul was a guy who actually tried to do this thing on his own. But Paul wasn't trying to do it by, you know, corporate greed or scamming the government or making a gazillion dollars in the music industry. He wasn't trying to do it that way. He was actually trying to work through religion proper to somehow determine his purpose. But you know, even that was not satisfying. Even that did not work. Listen to Paul's own testimony in Philippians chapter 3. He said, though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh or in themselves or in their own purposes, I've got more. I was circumcised on the eighth day and I'm of the people of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Do you know what Paul was saying? People would probably look at him before he came to know Jesus, and he's persecuting the church, and he's a brilliant theologian. He studied under Gamaliel. He had all of the credentials. He was faultless in the law. And everybody would look and probably go, that dude has got purpose. That right there is your definition of purpose. He was driven. He was smart. He had it together. And here's what he said. It was garbage. It was garbage compared to knowing Christ. Because Paul said the only purpose worth knowing is Jesus. That's it. Why? Because he understood God is a purposeful God. God invites us to join him on his purposes in the world. And that ultimately the only way that we know our purpose is when we know Jesus. That's the only way. So let me simplify. Some of you are just wondering, okay, so Jerry, I've been waiting this whole time for you just to tell me how I can know my purpose. It's simple. Here it is. Listen to Jesus, do what he says, and you'll be there. You're going, for real, I came for that. Yep. That's what you came for. He's going, you got to surrender yourself, listen to him, do what he says, and that's where you'll find yourself living in your purpose. If you're trying to figure this thing out, I'm here to try and simplify for us what the world has made a confusing idea when it comes to purpose. I want us to have a clear understanding of what that looks like. So if you want to jot this down, jot it down. I think it'll be helpful to you. And it's simply this. Jesus will place you in your purpose when you purpose to place him above everything else. Jesus will place you in your purpose when you purpose to place him above everything else. See, this is what it comes down to. We get really weirded out sometimes, and we're really concerned about this move and that move. Ultimately, it comes down to knowing Jesus, trusting him, listening to what he says, and then doing it. Because, sir, ma'am, it's his purpose. He's not asking us to have to make something up. It's his purpose. He knows how you're wired. He knows how you're made. He knows how he wants to use you. And he will lead you in that as you listen to him, as you trust him, as you take opportunity to be able to say, I will do what you've asked me to do. That's why we're reminded that the scripture tells us not to trust in our own ways, but in all our ways acknowledge him. And he'll be the one who makes our path straight. Isn't it interesting that it says he's the one who makes our path straight? We have gotten into the path straightening business and have found that we are a terrible construction crew. He is the one who will make our path straight. Why? Because we're acknowledging him in all things. We are trusting him. We are listening to him, and we are choosing to obey him. And do you know what he's going to say? I'm going to put you in the center of what my purpose is for your life. It's what I'm going to do. And it doesn't matter if that seems big or small to you. It really doesn't make any difference, because this is his purpose of how he wants to use us. Not about how we want to be used, but about how he wants to use us. And if that's a mom for this season, man, great. That's awesome. He can use you in that context. What if your greatest contribution to the world was not something you did, but someone you invested in who helped change the world? Then all of us who sow and who water will one day rejoice together at the harvest that God's given. I imagine people like Billy Graham's mom, she's probably going to have like 30 crowns in heaven. Billy's just, you know, he's just going to be handing them back to his mom. It's my mom. It's my mom. Right? You know, who knows, right? This is the investment that we've been called to make in the lives of people, but I just don't want you to be confused on this idea of purpose. And here's what I want to make sure you understand. If you're here, maybe you've come for the very first time. Maybe you're a guest. Maybe you just came special day because it's Mother's Day. I want you to understand something, that there's no way to understand your purpose in this life, no way at all, unless you know Jesus. And I'm not talking about just a religious knowledge. I'm not talking about, hey, yeah, man, I took some classes when I was younger, and, you know, some clergy type people, you know, they kind of stamped off on me and it's all good, and I've just kind of lived my own life and done my own thing for the rest of my life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you've surrendered yourself to Jesus. And every day of your life is a surrender to say, hey, Jesus, whatever it is you want from me, whatever you want to do in me, whatever you want to do through me, that's what I want to do. Because a lot of people think that maybe their purpose is defined by what they do for God. Not at all. Your purpose is defined by what Jesus does through you. It's not about what you can do for him. For real, he's God. Are you gonna add anything to him? This is not about what you and I can do for Jesus. This is about what Jesus wants to do for the world through us. See, that's what the gospel teaches us. And if you're here and you've never come to a place where you've actually turned from sin and turned from trusting in yourself and your own direction and actually surrendered yourself to Jesus, understanding that he died for you because you and I are sinners who could not save ourselves, but that he can transform us. If you've never come to that place of acknowledging that he's the one who not only died but got up from the dead, satisfying the justice of a holy God, taking your sin and my sin upon him, and that you've not received him into your life and surrendered the whole of your heart to him, boy, today I think would be a great day for you to do that. And here's what I would offer to you as a friend and as somebody who just wants to help. If that's your need today, then when we dismiss in just a moment, I know you may have some Mother's Day activities going on today and all that stuff. I get it. We won't keep you long, but I can promise you, the greatest gift you'll give, the greatest gift you'll get is knowing Jesus. There's nothing better than that. Brunch can wait. But this is about your eternity. So if that's your need, when we dismiss in just a moment, I'd ask if you just come straight across the atrium. There's a room called the Fireside Room. And if you're in this room or in the East Worship Center, just come right over there. There's some pastors that are going to be in there and some other friends that'll be in there. Here's what we want to do. We want to help you understand what it means to come to know Jesus. We want to pray for you. We want to send you home with something that's going to help you in your journey of faith. You're not signing up to be a member. Or you don't have to sing a solo. You don't have to memorize the book of Leviticus tomorrow. We're not doing anything like that. We want to help you understand what it means to know Jesus. And we're going to send you home with something. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll send you home with a Bible too. But also a little booklet that talks about what your first week as a disciple looks like. So we just want to be an asset to you and a help to you in your journey. So if that's you, I encourage you to come. Father, thanks for the opportunity to be able to think through the idea of purpose. And I thank you that when we understand you, we understand that purpose is obvious. You are a God who is purposeful. You invite us to join you on your purpose so that every man, woman, and child would have an opportunity to know you because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that, God, we can't know our purpose unless we deeply know and love Jesus. So help us to be people who know you, who trust you, and who do what you say, because that's when we'll really live. That's when we'll experience purpose in living. Help us to do that, God, so that the world may see you, which is what you've wanted all along. We pray you'll help us in that in Jesus' name. Amen.